Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It has been a week at CAP Radio. In the past 7 days, a crippling audit by the California State University system uncovered deep financial mismanagement at the public radio station, and that was just the tip of the iceberg. In the past 48 hours, give or take, the ethics and actions of leadership have been in the hot seat at the NPR member station, which also includes CAP Radio's music station and North State Public Radio, which is based in Chico. Last night, more than a dozen CAP Radio board members abruptly gave their resignations, effective immediately. However, these resignations were not necessarily tied to the audit, but rather, according to the board, due to a lack of collaboration and support with Sacramento State. As you probably know by now, Sac State holds the licenses to both CAP Radio News and Music. We are an auxiliary of the university, and our financial health is Sac State's responsibility. I, along with other journalists in our newsroom, have been reporting on our employer independently, which means in following with NPR's protocol for reporting on itself, no CAP Radio corporate official or news executive reviewed our reporting before broadcast. Now, we welcome Sac State President Luke Wood about the best path forward for both the university and CAP Radio. Welcome, President Wood.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
You know, you were on Insight June 7th. And this was ahead of you stepping into the position of becoming the new president of Sac State. That was almost exactly 4 months ago. I would imagine you didn't expect your first crisis to be related to the university's public radio station.
Certainly did not expect that. Walking into this role in July 16, one of the first things I learned is that CAP Radio was experiencing some pretty significant challenges. I had been given updates about during my transitional meetings with President Nelson that there had been an audit that was requested from the state and from the Cal State system, and that the audit was, you know, had some real major concerns in it. Soon after, I learned that those concerns were really of the highest order, and that this is one of the worst audits that the system has ever seen. And I continued to hear the same things from other individuals who've had a chance to review the audit. So while I was not here when these issues occurred, of course, as a new president, I have the responsibility to make sure that that it's saved. And CAP Radio is an essential media institution. It's beloved by people in the community for very good reason. And I believe in public media. And so I've done everything I can during my presidency in the short time that I've been here to really focus on making sure that CAP Radio can survive for the future. And to put that in context, I would say that about 70 to 75% of my time as president has been focused on CAP Radio because of how important it is for Sacramento, Northern California, and beyond.
Hmm. With the focus and in the spirit of accountability, not just for CAP Radio, also Sac State, we are tethered together in this. Where do you want to start?
Well, I really want to start with now moving forward with the new board. And so, you know, as you mentioned, there were a number of board members that resigned last night. I accepted their resignations, and that was in response to calls from other board members asking for them to resign. For example, our student body president, who's a board member who sits on other boards, expressed concerns to me in terms of how the board was being run. And she publicly called for board members, particularly those who are our officers and members of the finance committee who oversaw and were here during the period of when this occurred, to essentially understand the duty that has been bestowed upon them and to essentially, you know, make that resignation. I'll say that other board members similarly reached out to me wanting to see the same thing. And so I certainly supported the board members in their desires to move forward and to have members resign. And so now we're at this phase where we have a new board that will be coming on. And in fact, I cannot tell you my there's so many people who've been reaching out saying that they want to be part of CAP Radio. They want to be part of the board. They want to see it for the future. Leaders in our community, just amazing individuals who are really committed to CAP Radio and wanting to see the future be bright. And so lots of folks are reaching out right now saying they want to be part of the board. And so we're looking at that. We're looking at adding new board members. But the first things that we need to be able to do is to look at the operating agreement with the university. And that was one of the things that was called out in the audit. So we have some things in the audit that we need to do as we're looking to add those new board members. But that's the first and next step.
In the letter that the board collectively released when disclosing that they're resigning effective immediately, they said that there were bad faith practices between the university and the board, that they weren't privy to information before it becoming publicly announced to the community. What is your response to that? That it basically prevented them from being able to make the best decisions to move forward?
So I want to thank the board members for their service. I believe that they were committed to public media. And at the same time, we had an audit that showed that millions of dollars in loans and lines of credit were taken out without awareness of the university and in some cases even awareness of the own board. We had a reported to us a $3 million reserve that ended up being only $85,000. We had the Corporation for Public Broadcasting giving us higher matching funds for donations that came into CAP Radio that ultimately were higher than what we were entitled to. And so many other high-level egregious issues. And so if the concern is that the university acted in bad faith, I would question the direction of where that came from.
When it comes to the board, there is also Sac State's chief financial officer is on the board. The treasurer is a Sac State employee as well. Sac State is the employer, is the boss of CAP Radio. So what responsibility falls on Sac State for what this audit shows is a chronic lack of financial practices and oversight?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when we look at the audit shows that there were practices that were done without the university's awareness. And I think that that's a really important fact here. And if it wasn't for our vice president of finance, who, as you mentioned, is on the board, identifying the issues in 2021 and bringing them to the system and having President Nelson request an audit, there would be no CAP Radio today. Because if it wasn't for that, these issues would have been found far too late. The university would not have been able to come in, and we would not be even be having this interview right now. So I have confidence that we are moving in the right direction. I also want to say that I have confidence in the steps that we've taken. You know, we brought in an interim general manager, Tom Carlo, from KPBS in San Diego, who's had a storied career in public media.
And a working relationship with you because you come from San Diego State.
Yes. And I think that's important, right? Because it's important as we're working to address these issues that there's people who have an understanding of how to run an operation that maintains the very important independence when it comes to journalism, when it comes to the content that's being produced, but also understands the relationship between an auxiliary and the university that's its fiduciary steward.
Yeah. When looking at this audit, I mean, it was done by the California State University System. Obviously, it's focusing on CAP Radio, but this also is an audit of Sac State, one of its campuses, and the oversight of one of its auxiliaries. So what conversations are you having with the CSU? I know we have a new chancellor, but at that time was an interim chancellor. About the CSU system. I'm sure they're concerned about what's taking place at one of its 23 campuses.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and this impacts certainly Sacramento State, but the license is held by the CSU system. And there's other universities in our system that are also part of this family of CAP Radio. And I can say that it was the number one thing that I was told I would needed to focus on when I got here. And so that's what I've done is I've had it be my primary focus. So that tells you that the system is very concerned, but also very invested in making sure that public media lives on. I mean, if think about this, next year we're going to be in a presidential election season. Public media will be more important next year and possibly one of the most important elections of our time. We need to have objective, independent reporting that's taking place. We need to make sure that we're providing people with accurate information. And in many ways, while it may not be the instruction that takes place in the classroom of updating people with content, what CAP Radio does is educates the wider community. That's important. That's part of our educational mission. But that mission only matters if there's enough dollars to keep the lights on. And so we're committed to that. And it means that we've got some hard work to do. But I think that the actions that have taken place with the resignation of board members, with the efforts to have resources shorn up to make sure that we can, you know, continue to move forward in operations, and with more things that we have planned, I think the future is bright. And I think that those who are listening should feel a sense of comfort that CAP Radio will be in a good position. They should feel a sense of comfort in knowing that if they're donating money to CAP Radio, that it's going to be properly stewarded, because that was one of the things that came out in the audit, is that people were making donations, but we couldn't necessarily say that this dollar was actually being used for the intended purpose. Now we have a team in place that's making sure those things are happening. So I think that there should be a sense of assurance, a sense of greater levels of support. But I also say this, this issue is so large, it's existential. The university cannot save CAP Radio by itself. The university needs the public. We need the support of the public in doing so. And I believe that today is day one in that journey. Mm.
And there are going to be more forensic examinations. I mean, you're talking about an audit that not only impacts CAP Radio, it impacts the broader community that includes Sac State, right? Because this audit shows Sac State took out an $8 million loan from a financial institution. CAP Radio hasn't been paying back the university. We are the building we're in. CAP Radio has not been paying rent on that for, you know, a year plus. In addition to bailing out CAP Radio over liens on downtown projects, you know, of June of this year. I mean, it's just messy. There's a lot of money and it spans years. What I think about is a good comparison is like Sac State is the parent, right? And then it's like a parent gives a child a credit card and the child goes off and just runs with it and does all of these like irresponsible purchases. Obviously, the responsibility falls on the child, but doesn't it fall on the parent as well? Where was the oversight of Sacramento State? I mean, these are millions of dollars that impacts the university. It impacts students. Why did they continue to move forward and allow CAP Radio to operate the way that it was operating?
I think it's simple. It comes down to the fact that the information that was being presented to the campus was not reflective of what was actually taking place. If the campus is receiving reports saying that there's $3 million in reserve and there's only $85,000, the campus goes on the information that's presented to it by its auxiliaries. And so we've had to change that relationship. That's why now the finances of CAP Radio have been pulled inside the university and are being stewarded and operated by the university. Again, our focus here, we don't want to have anything to do with the news, with the content, with the music. There has to be a firewall there. But we also have to make sure that financially and operationally that we are properly stewarding public dollars that are coming in from donors, from the state, from the federal government, and making sure that we're doing right by that. And so our focus is on making sure that that occurs. Mm.
Given that the university disclosed that, you know, the CFO of the university first identified financial inconsistencies back in 2021. I mean, that was 2 years ago. So why are we now unpacking all of this 2 years later? Why not handle this 2 years ago?
That's a great question. Well, one, it takes a long time to do an audit. So that's part of what this was. And there's different levels of audits that take place in our system. So one is what's called an advisory review. An advisory review is we have someone come in from the chancellor's office. They take a look. They give us some feedback. It's informal. There's a report that goes to the president. It's not released to the public. Okay, that's one level. Then there's one where it says, oh, no, there's some serious issues here. This is an audit that needs to take place. And then there's within that a level one audit, a level two audit, and a level three audit. Level one being the least concerning, level three being the most concerning. So one of the reasons that this took so long is this is a level three audit. This is the highest of the highest order. And then the other part that played into this is that there was simply very little documentation. If you read in the audit, and multiple times it says, we simply could not find records that could document this. So part of the challenge in being able to address this earlier on, my understanding, again, I wasn't here, is that there simply wasn't documentation to support decisions that were made, and it was constantly requesting information, not getting anything, requesting information, not getting anything. And then as this time frame started to go by, more and more started trickling out. individuals started sharing more. People started coming forward and sharing, hey, I think that there are potential conflicts of interest. Hey, did you know that there's a timeshare that's owned by the endowment? Hey, are you aware that this happened and that was never disclosed? And so more and more started to trickle out. And so I would even say that the audit is really helpful in that it tells us what happened up to a certain point. But even since the audit, we have continued to learn new information. And so part of this is a lack of sharing of information. And so, again, when there's concerns expressed that the university did not act in good faith, I have to question the direction in which that came.
And I understand you are inheriting these challenges. You've been president for, a little over 3 months now. But everything you're laying out, from just, poor documentation of financial practices to mismanagement to conflicts of interest, and this spans years. I just go back to, where was the university in all of this? Shouldn't they be providing better oversight of one of their auxiliaries?
I think it's fair to say that there's always more that could have been done. And it's easy for me coming into this role to Monday morning quarterback and say, well, I would have done this, I would have done that. But I think that there are a few things that stand out to me. First is that the information that was being presented on financials to the university was simply inaccurate. Second is that they had an external auditor that was reviewing them every year, Cap Radio, and giving them a clean bill of health. And unfortunately, unlike would be common practice in most nonprofits where you rotate auditors every few years so that you're making sure you're getting clean looks every time, that did not happen. And so when you put those two things together, I think that then you start to recognize that there was, I don't want to say that there was a purposeful intent, because that might go to a legal level, but let me just say that what was told to the university was not accurate. What was presented on paper was not accurate. And so in being colleagues, in being having this relationship where we wanted to honor the independence of Cap Radio as a independent nonprofit media organization and auxiliary, I think that those days are unfortunately gone. And now we're going to be moving forward in a different way. The finances will be part of the institution. That being said, journalistic independence. And in addition to that, we have other stopgaps in place. We'll be rotating the external audits moving forward. We have already established a board where all of our auxiliaries now are meeting every 2 weeks with our AVP for financial services. We had the forensic audit that's taking place. We put Tom Carlo in place. So we're making all those decisions now. And I think that for me, I can't focus on the past. I can only focus on what we're going to do for the future.
You touched upon legal. Do you think any of these actions rise to being criminal?
We don't know. All I know is that I see a lack of documentation across numerous different areas. The state audit indicated that there was a lack of documentation across numerous different areas and lack of financial controls. We know that there were potential conflicts of interest. I'm not going to say that they were conflicts, because I don't know exactly the process in which these things were reported, because I still have requested information I have not received. And we know that there was a timeshare that was owned by the endowment and loans and lines of credit that were taken out without the university's awareness. So I'm not an accountant and I'm not a lawyer. I'm an educator. But all I can say is that math ain't mathin'.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm speaking with Sacramento State President Luke Wood regarding Cap Radio's financial crisis. President Wood, what message do you have for Cap Radio staff? Because staff are auxiliary employees of the university, and they're finding out about these just really dire developments that directly impact their livelihoods through other media outlets. I mean, as auxiliary employees, how are you communicating with staff at Cap Radio, or are you?
So I would first begin by saying that my heart absolutely breaks for staff. They've spent their lives and careers dedicated to media and Cap Radio, public media. and trying to create better information that informs people when it comes to elections, when it comes to their daily lives and how they engage the world. And that dedication has to be honored. And to see that we've had staff members who have been directly impacted by decisions made by top brass and by a lack of accountability from the previous board, I think that that is incredibly sad. So what I would hope that the staff would take away from this is that we are confident that the future is much brighter than the past has been. And as James Baldwin said, nothing can be changed until it is faced, and we're facing this head on. We have the right people in place now. We'll have a new board in short order with amazing individuals who are dedicated to public media. And I think that with those two things in place, we will be able to make sure that CAP Radio lives on and is able to do the good work for the community. So my hope is that the takeaway from this, from the staff, is a sense of assurance, a sense of confidence in the future, and also understanding that there's a lot of gratitude on our side as the university for their dedication and for the hard work that they've done.
Because you can imagine the stress and anxiety one would go through, you know, reading a breaking development after another breaking development from other newsrooms. What kind of internal messaging is Sac State having with employees at CAP Radio?
Well, our vice president for finance will be here today to speak with the staff. Part of what I would say is that the developments, as you've mentioned, have been so quick that now we're able to at a point where we can be able to communicate those. Obviously we have an interim general manager in place who I know has been communicating some of this information. But again, the developments have been very quick. I mean, you know, yesterday we had a board, right? Today we don't. Several weeks ago, we didn't have an audit. Now we have an audit. And we also know that there are forthcoming audits and investigations that are going to be taking place at the federal level, the state level, and the local level. So I would just say to the staff that we will be communicating moving forward as much as possible, because part of the reason that we got here is that the organizational divide between CAP Radio and the university began to widen, and now we're bringing that back together because, like you mentioned, we're all part of the same Sacramento State family.
Hmm. Is there the possibility of more cuts and layoffs at CAP Radio?
I don't know. I'm not involved in those decisions. I can say that I hope not. And I believe that we're going to be able to do good work for the future. So as far as I'm concerned, every time that any individual within the greater Sacramento State family is not able to retain their job, my heart breaks. And I would not want to see that happen at CAP Radio. Mm.
And just to clarify, when you said audits at the federal level, what did you mean by federal level?
Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Right.
Yeah.
What have they told you? What communication have you had with them?
We've just had informal communication. And the informal is basically a heads up that we have a responsibility to look into this, especially given what we know about the car donations. Mm. And that was in, again, the state audit that the values were essentially inflated to receive higher matching funds.
Are you communicating with Chico State? Because North State Public Radio is part of the CAP Radio family, and they're based in Chico, and there are employees up there that are worried about their fate as well.
So, answer your question, yes. And there's also a representative from Chico on the board, too.
Okay.
So, and that person is remaining on the board, and we look forward to their continued service.
Looking ahead as to how we move forward, you know, at the core of this crisis, are these two lofty, costly downtown projects.
Yeah.
How do we move forward with that? Is that actually going to become a reality? Are we moving forward with these buildings?
I think that's a decision for CAP Radio. I can say that just from my perspective, And you use the example of like how much you spend and how I think about it is like this. Cap Radio already has a pair of shoes, but it wants to buy some expensive Jordans. And it's doing great work with the shoes that it has. And if it can afford those Jordans, then yeah, I have no problem with that. But right now, $70,000 a month in rent, and it will go up to, I believe, $90,000+ a rent per month. That's a very costly lease. Mm-hmm. And then the cost of furniture and the cost of all these new expenses that far outsize the budget. So, you know, when I was a child, my parents talked to me about this is what you have in your budget and this is what you can spend, and you don't spend beyond what your budget is. For Cap Radio, that hasn't really been, and I'm really thinking about the upper brass and the board, and that those over expenses have come at the cost of those, like you mentioned, staff who are on the ground, who are the ones who are doing the hard work. So I would hope that we'd be able to look at that and see, is there something else that we can do? And maybe there is moving into the downtown. Maybe there's an opportunity to revisit how that's done. Maybe there's an opportunity for other parts of the university to come in. Maybe there's an opportunity for others, businesses in the community to kind of co-share some of that space. I just want to make sure that whatever is done in a way that sustains Cap Radio, sustains its impact on the community, and ultimately doesn't result in a staff members who've dedicated their lives to public media not being able to continue doing that.
Yeah.
That's my priority.
And going with that analogy, Sac State's the parent. So you and the university can decide whether Cap Radio continues with these two projects. I mean, because if not, you all are on the hook for the debt that's already incurred as a fiduciary.
Yes, yes. We are on the hook for the debt, and there are leases that are already signed. So it's going to be, I think, a conversation in terms of how we deal with that. And we're definitely getting guidance right now on how to approach that. Ultimately, what we have to do is make sure that Cap Radio can continue to thrive. And so we have to look at those leases. I'll say this. I don't think the situation would be as acute as it is right now if it wasn't for moving into the downtown headquarters. Think about the expensive furniture purchases. Think about the renovations that took place. Think about the lease and the cost of all those things put together far outsized the budget of Cap Radio. And so my hope is that we can reevaluate those things, and maybe it's a scaled down version of it. Maybe there's a different way of us thinking about this. My focus is not on space. My focus is on saving Cap Radio. And I'll say this. I had a chance to go visit the space. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it.
I have, yes.
Yes. It is very nice. It is. I would actually use the word opulent. And I wish that my engineering labs on campus looked as nice as that space does. I wish that our classrooms for our students looked as nice as that space does. I wish our residence halls looked as nice as that space does. And when like you mentioned, ultimately, the university is the fiduciary agent. So we are on hook for those dollars because those agreements are already in place. And so when I think about the impact this is having on the university financially, and this has been a substantial impact and there's more to come, I have made assurances to our faculty that this will not impact instruction. I've made assurances to students this will not impact the quality of the work that we do for them. And at the same time, in order to be able to make sure those assurances come through, which I'm committed to making sure that we can maintain the highest level of quality of education for our students, we're going to have to look at those costs, reevaluate them, and see if there is another way to make this puzzle work that fits for Cap Radio and fits for the campus too.
And a big piece of that is a change in leadership. You mentioned that a new board will help lead Cap Radio. Where does the GM search stand? Because there has been a search for a permanent general manager. We currently have an interim, Tom Carlo, who you worked with at KPBS in San Diego when you were at San Diego State. Where does that search stand now? And how will it be paid for? How will it be funded?
So, that search completed, and the board voted before resigning, voted to move forward with that candidate. I had specifically requested that they not do so because that is a $500,000 a year commitment, if you talk about salary and benefits, for that position. And that was a concern to me when we have an interim general manager in place that, and there's not a need to expend those dollars right now.
But
that is being paid for by the university.
That Sac State, and this was in their letter, that Sac State generously offered that funding to the board when they were conducting a 7-month search for a general manager. So what changed between, 7 months ago and now?
A lot changed.
And I know you weren't president at that time. So was it because of prior leadership? And then you came in and you're like, wait, no, we're not doing that?
No, even up until several weeks ago, I think that we were still willing to work with that role. I think that was the new revelations that have come out and the lack of willingness to share information created a categorically different position. Mm. And that's not something that I wanted to see. I also know that we will need to be engaging in a GM search. And I think that
from scratch.
At this point in time, that is my understanding. And so as we do that, I also think that one of the things that's really important is that when I had the opportunity to engage candidates, it was very clear to me that they did not understand and had not been informed of the totality of this situation. And I think that that is reckless. I think imagine if you were to be hired into a role to be a steward, a general manager of a great organization like Cap Radio, and you weren't given the full picture about what had taken place and where they were at financially. I don't think that is the right thing to do to someone that you're hiring. And so we have the ability now to be able to turn this ship around. We've got Tom Carlo in place. We've got a number of new measures that are coming into place. And we're going to get this turned around and we're going to begin that GM search and we're going to hire a permanent GM who's going to come into an organization that's on an upward trajectory, not on the downward trajectory.
I want to end with students because we're an auxiliary of the university, so we need to be of benefit to the campus as well as to students. 6 months, a year from now, what does Cap Radio look like in terms of its service to students and students being part of the public radio station?
Well, I think that's a conversation for Cap Radio and for the university, but for Cap Radio. But I can tell you what I've seen. So I had the pleasure, as you mentioned, working with Tom Carlo at KPBS in San Diego. And this is what I saw there. I saw when I walked into the facility there, I saw tons of students who were working there. They were interns. They were part-time workers. They worked on the content side of the house. They worked on the finance side of the house. He had MBA students working in the financial office. They could not have run their operation the way they did and so successfully if it wasn't for students. And just think about it. Those students were getting opportunities to prepare for their careers. Because many of them wanted to go into media in some way, journalism, public media, news, theater, film, and television. They were interested in this, and this is now an opportunity for them to gain real-life experience. And this is what I see. Cap Radio started with a mission to serve our students and eventually moved away from that mission. And when I look at the demographic of our students on campus, we serve students who are low-income, who are first-generation students of color, many of them the very first in their families ever to go off to college. And Cap Radio has been withholding opportunity for those who are trying to create a better life for themselves and for their families. I think there's an opportunity for there to be incredible linkages that provide students with those opportunities, that help to support the staff that are here, they're doing the good work and alleviate some of that workload in a way that allows them to be able to continue to advance their mission and provide students with learning opportunities. I think that there's an integration in a way that creates an even better experience. And that's what I've seen. I've seen that model at KPBS, and I'm looking forward to seeing that same kind of model here.
In the last 30 seconds we have, I have one final question. Obviously, you're president of Sac State. You're also a graduate of Sac State. Did you listen to Cap Radio? What was your awareness of Cap Radio as a student?
Yes, I listen to Cap Radio for sure. and my awareness as a student was high. I believe my brother was actually on the board at one point in time for Cap Radio as a student way back in the day. And I knew lots of friends who also served as board members for Cap Radio. So I've always loved Cap Radio. And I've always loved the fact that they have continued to put out high quality content and to inform the public. Again, I see it as part of this education mission of the university. It's just a different part and different way of educating individuals. And so I'm excited about the future. I think the future is bright. I hope that those who are listening, who are supporters of Cap Radio, who believe in public media, trust that the future will be much better than the past. And we need your support. Again, we cannot accomplish this alone. We need you to help us, and we're going to get it done together.
President Wood, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
That is Sacramento State President Luke Wood discussing the financial crisis at Cap Radio, which is an auxiliary of Sac State. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, your NPR member station. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.